We here at Sports Best Friends acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as the traditional custodians of the land, water and sky throughout Australia on which we record. We recognise their strength, diversity, resilience and deep connection to country. We pay our respects to elders of the past, present and future as they hold the memories, knowledge and spirit of Australia.
It will be unbelievable, and I think it probably will be a dream that we're chasing, and I just hope we go good.
That'd be a great background to it as well. Hello and welcome to Sports Best Friends at Home, a podcast that this week is doing Sports Best Friends stories kind of thing. You found me, Big T, getting ready to launch into a big episode with my son, Big Bello, the fastest tiger. He'll be on a bit later to do tips and ladders. But before that, I'll be with Newtown Jets number 9, Josh Cook, a player so famous he's got his own wiki page. I don't know if you're doing that yourself, but it looks great. He's actually famous enough to be humble, so listen to his humble talks all the way through it. That you'll hear that when I talk him up, he'll talk himself down. He's been in the Roosters system, the South Bulldogs and Sharks system. He's also played in the World Cup in 2022 representing Ireland. And speaking of representing, he also was selected in the 16s New South Wales and the New South Wales Indigenous team for under 16s because he's a weapon. He's 183 centimetres of extremely handsome man, born in the year of the rabbit and the Taurus. He's a Taurus, if that means anything. Did I miss anything else?
No, that's a very good
intro. Nailed it.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Here we go.
Anybody watched a series of rugby league games, they'd never go back to watching union or AFL or soccer.
Had too many milkshakes.
Yeah. What's the deal with the, just because all the boys were getting the...
Well, you know, things with tattoos with me, I don't plan them. I walk in and I get them. So as soon as I turned 18, I was like, yeah, you know, it's like, let's go boys, let's go to the tattoo parlor. Turns out I was the only one that got one, and I think it's a Taurus sign.
Oh my God, even better, you're not sure what it is.
Yeah, and it's a place that's hidden, so that's probably the best thing about it.
Do you have any other ones?
Yeah, I've got Spider-Man on my forearm. Yeah. Like I said, I kind of make a meaning out of all of them, so I think I've got about 11 tattoos.
Hold on, you make a meaning out of them after you've randomly gone in and got it, though. 100%.
Post-meaning. I love that. I kind of like just doing the walk-in, I just see how it is. They kind of draw something up for me, and then I just kind of make something out of it.
So you go in and say something like, hey, I'm looking for this, or do you go and look through the book and go, actually, I want this, but I need a...
Well, I kind of I have an idea going into it, more so where I want to put it. Then I kind of pick their brain a bit. I think I've had different artists come to me and they'd be like, oh, we can do this, we can do that. And there's one on my calf, which is a funny story. It was actually after we won the comp in 20s. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to make a tattoo because, you know, accomplishment. Anyway, I've gone in and I've seen this thing on my Instagram. It's like a wolf, like split into two sides, like good and evil kind of thing. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Walked into this place in Alexandria. It's called The Hunter and the Fox. And I didn't realize it was a traditional place. So the style of the tattoo is called traditional. So I've gone in and said, I want this, I'll come back, I'll get a feed, you draw something up, we'll come back. And they showed me something, and I'm like, that's not what I wanted.
Mm.
And they were like, well, this is the place, you know, I don't
think you
realize.
Came here to us.
So I was like, let's run it, let's do it. So, got that on my calf, and that was extremely painful. But it was, I'm kind of easy with the tattoos.
Are you doing them with people normally, or is it just... like, did everyone in the 20s comp, most people have a tat?
I mean, no. Like, it's,
wow.
Yeah, it's I'm a bit weird like that. I kind of just go, I talk to my partner, and be like, oh, I'm just gonna tattoo because I always say like, oh, does she want me to get one? And she's always cool with it. She's whatever. Mm. But like, I'm just gonna do this. I'm gonna get that. I'm thinking about that. What do you reckon? And I'll usually take a picture of the sketch they draw up, and she goes, yep, let's do it.
Yeah, sick. Does she have many?
She's got one, which she doesn't like them, but like, she's got one that I went with her to get, and I think that will do her. It's a small little rose.
Yeah. Oh, little rose, cute.
Yeah,
okay. Now, I mean, you've already launched us into your 20s career. I love that. And winning the comp. Tell me about your first memory, though. What's your earliest memory of rugby league?
Earliest memory of rugby league would be running around in Yarra Oval for Laparoos Panthers. We come from a proud Laparoos family. My dad played there all his life.
Wow.
And, he's a proud Indigenous man as well. And, you know, that's... I just remember being 5-6 year old crying next to mum and dad about going on to play footy and then and doing that every week, and would have been a bit of a punish to them. But yeah, I kind of just, that's what kickstarted off for me. And I think that's really, you know, I always think about that wherever I go, is that, you know, where I come from. And Yeah, I always think about Labrador's Panthers.
Yeah, and so the bit there where you're a bit upset about it, you're just like a kid being nervous about it. Yeah. Definitely. I did the same even with cricket. I remember being in the car with my grandfather and my dad, but just being like, I don't want to do it. I don't even know why. I think the coach was a punish. But, yeah, it's a weird thing now. And I remember sitting in the back knowing, God, this would be so annoying for them. Mm. Like, just get out and do it. And I was just like, no, I really don't want to. I really can't for whatever reason.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. I think it's like a personality thing for me. I'm more a little kind of an anxious kind of dude, and I'm very quiet, as you'd know. And I know I find ways to deal with it in other ways of life, or whether it be, you know, like talking to people or talking to my mum and dad about it. So that they really helped me with that. But yeah, I've always kind of had that bit of shyness about me.
Okay. Now, most kids at that stage, obviously, you're 6 years old, you're not dreaming of playing in the NRL. But what stage do you think you went, actually, I could make a go of this. This isn't just like a fun thing I'm doing with the friends. This could be something else.
Well, we got to the point where representative football kind of come into things at 16 years of age. And you had your Harold Matthews comp that started then. So I was playing just regular footy. At that time, I was playing for the Coogee Wombats as La Perouse didn't have a side. So just like any other kid at that age, I thought, like, I just want to play and play with my mates and see what happens. And they tend to pick a few players from each club to go trial for a pre-season in Harold Matthews, and I was playing good footy at the time, and like, I had no ambition to go, I want to play to get to this position. And Tony Henderson was one of the main men at South Sydney at the time. Was like, oh, let's see how this kid goes, and got selected in a big group of a summer pre-season at Harold Matts, and ended up going in there, and I was told, look, you know, you're probably about the fifth, sixth string halfback and about seventh, eighth string hooker. I didn't play hooker at the time. I was playing centre or whatever. I was like, well, what's the point of doing this? Like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just going to try this pre-season out, see how it goes.
And, how old are you then? How much? Sorry,
15 and 16. 15, so that's under 16s. I was 15 at the time. And just done the pre-season, and I kind of had this natural ability about being fit. So I think that took me a long way, and kind of just backed my instinct, and I thought I'd put in a pretty good preseason and trial games. I went well, and I just remember, eventually got picked in the squad. But at that time, too, they said, look, I don't, you know, you're about third, fourth string, hooker, whatever, halfback. And we had a good team at that time, and I ended up playing for the 16s Indigenous group, the Koorees versus Murrays. So that come about with you just play the Koorees knockout and you know, pick select players, and played there, played the centres. Played pretty good, and then I had to travel that next morning to Wollongong to play against the Dragons for the round one in Harold Matthews. And I remember this, I got picked on the bench there and went up, and I think I played one of the best games I've ever played in my life.
Wow.
And that kind of gave me that spot, and I ended up playing up nine, and it was the first kind of thing I ever did at nine. I didn't know how to play it, and just went on week by week learning. Knew different things about that position, and at the end of that season, I ended up getting picked for the Blues, as you mentioned before, the 16 Blues at the hooker. And I guess after that point, I thought, well, maybe I can, you know, make some of this.
So that's 1 year at the beginning, that's in a preseason, they're like about seventh string halfback, and by the end of the year, you're in the New South Wales squad and Indigenous squad. Wow.
Yeah.
How'd your anxiety go in that bit then, when you're a 6 year old crying about even going on, and now 10 years later, you're getting told you're seven people behind? Like, that must have rattled you a bit.
Oh, definitely. I think I got a credit. My parents there, and because nothing changed for me at that time too. I was obviously nervous. This is all new to me.
Representing
football. I just didn't know how it works. And I think it's good how they put you into a training system, but it's very different from going from your local footy straight into a, you know, train this at this intensity and new. Like, I had no idea about a structure of the game. So I used to go out and play. Say, I was playing for Coogee at the time. It's like, oh, I'm going to get the ball and I'm trying to beat him. Going, you know.
Yeah.
Just natural footy, and structure got into play, and I was a little bit, you know, rattled by that. But you know, I thought I can either accede to this or go the other way, and you know, I learned. I started watching more footy and how footy works, and yeah, I think that helped. Which leads into the SG ball season, and I can't credit this man enough because Matty King was our coach. At SG ball, and not only did he teach you about how to play rugby league and play, how to play it well, but how to be a good person. And I find that being a good person really does help on and off the field. And he taught me a lot, and he taught the group a lot. And still this day, I think that's he's done a lot for me.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, he's often touted randomly by different people. Even I was in a fish and chip shop in Annandale 8 months ago, and he was there with his family, and the fish and chip shop guy like stopped everyone just to like call out Matty King to tell him about how great he is as a bloke. I was like, what the hell?
He's unreal. And I think Benny Lowe at the time too, Benny Lowe's the same kind of guy. He's unreal. He's such a good dude, and you know, he's the unreal players, like, you know, what they pass down here. I can't credit him enough.
And then somehow you get, you're a Souths fan, I'm assuming, as a kid growing up in La Perouse.
Yeah.
And then eventually you're in that system and you're playing the Charity Shield. Talk me through that game.
Yeah, it's after the SG Ball season, like, we had the loss of players of Campbell Graham, Cam Murray, Keon, Dean Hawkins. We had a good side. After that season, I played again SG Ball and kind of got into the 20 system. And at that time, it was still Toyota Cup. I ended up getting injured in that preseason for that, so I couldn't play. But, started training a little bit of full-time with the NRL squad here and there. At the time, 20s was Bears. And then I got my first full-time contract leading to Jersey Flag. And it was an unbelievable experience. I doing a full NRL preseason and going into that Jersey Flag season. And, we obviously had a good year that year and learn a lot. But yeah, my first Charity Shield experience was, it was unreal. It was my first kind of taste of like that NRL kind of
level.
And I was just, I remember just being in that squad. You had like, Benji Marshall was with at the time as well. And that was, it was unreal. What was different for me was I was carrying a bit of an injury going into it, which it kind of ruled me out for the rest of the year. And kind of, you talk about like anxiety about going into games regardless of injuries. And I remember doing my AC like a month prior to it, and all my focus on was like, I just need to wear that NRL South jersey against in that Charity Shield. And obviously it's a big occasion, like Charity Shield's unbelievable. We're in Mudgee, and you know, it's always good for the fans out there too. But the experience alone was unreal. And at the time I had NRL training experience, and yeah, it's come off a good season off the Jersey Flag.
Is Wayne the coach at that time?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So just in that short period of time, you're in a locals comp playing, you know, eyes up football the entire time, no structure. And then such a short period of time, you're getting feedback like you're the seventh string, which you never obviously got at LARPA. You're playing and then you're on the bench.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you're in a training room with Wayne, Benji, and you know, the feedback there is, there's no feedback. It's just, you know, go out, be the best person you can. I mean, Wayne's also that kind of Max King ilk.
Yeah, definitely. But
that's crazy that you're doing that in such a short period of time. You moved from eyes up to you're marking someone from the Dragons.
Wow. Yeah, it was, like I said, this, it's unbelievable experience. And I think what Wayne brings, you know, if you don't really know outside looking in, but he's a good coach. He knows how to work his players, whether you're the top squad or even if you're one of the younger players. But yeah, he's got some funny stories. I think when I went over to Perth, playing the Perth Nines, we played, I forget we played the first game, but we played, and then I was thinking, oh, how good's this? I played in the Perth Nines, it's unbelievable. And then that night, Wayne, I was in the elevator with Wayne going down for a dinner. And he just said, mate, what number were you out there? And I was 11. I was like, 11. He goes, mate, I had no idea you were out there. I couldn't notice you. And that rattled me. I was like, oh, my God, he's got in me. I don't think I've done enough. Here I am excited to play. And then we played Canberra the next day and went out, got man of the match, scored a try. And I was like,
you legend.
Yeah, I was like, at the time, I was rattled. I was like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of down on myself. And then, you know, in a weird way, like, that chat with Wayne, even though it was a bit full on, helped me. And, you know, I think about that now too. Like, you know, like you can always be better. You can't always go, you can't just be complacent thinking, oh, how good's this? You got to, make the most of it. And
that had to be on purpose, right? Like, it's pretty brutal, but he must also be thinking this kid might need a bit of a...
Yeah, I think so. You know, and it was pretty, you know, evident. I was quite a kid and it was went to the elevator, into the dinner, and then he made a point of it making it at the dinner too, so he put me on show in front of everyone. But I think he kind of tested my character out as well. I was like, oh, I can either go up and shy away and have a cry, or, you know, go out and perform the next day, which I did. So,
or both. I mean, it's also okay to like go back, because as you said, like you went to the whole like, oh, what am I doing here, blah, 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 which is also fine. But then to go, all right, what am I doing here? Well, here's what I'm going to go and do. That's,
exactly.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And even though it was a Nines comp, but still, it was like, you know, I'm representing South Sydney, like, let's go, like, I've got to be good here. So Yeah, and then obviously within that squad too was unreal. Like, even I've always looked up to Damien Cook. Like, I was second string there for a few years, and he was unreal in terms of my development. Cody Walker, Latrell as well. I don't think they get enough praise, to be honest. I think a lot of the media gets into them for other different reasons, but in terms of their character and how they look after the young kids, it's it's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, they get a huge,
which goes unnoticed. I feel, and but being within that squad really helped.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I mean, I really love being on Twitter, and social media is a really great place if you follow the right people. But it's 100% racism. You're trying not to say it, but the most of what they cop there is entirely because people, and even if they don't realise they're doing it, like the amount of scrutiny, even something small like that game against South the other day, South get a penalty for back chat on the try line. It's not Latrell, because Latrell's in the tackle. Mace Satelli gets up as a hooker, as a dummy half, and the penalty's got played. So it couldn't be him. You can see he's on shot, never says a word.
Yeah.
They say penalty for back chat, and then the director hits Latrell, who's standing in the line, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now, anyone who wants to see that as him being penalised for that easily sees it. Even if you didn't want to and you weren't eye-hawking, because I really cared about who gave away the penalty. So I was trying to see who it was and could see it wasn't Latrell. You know what I mean? But most of us, most of the people who want it to be him or, don't realise what they're being fed would easily think that it's him and go, oh, this guy's always complaining, he's giving away penalties, blah, blah. That kind of stuff, over a season, over two seasons, over an incredible career, eats away at his legacy or Cody's. They just cop so much small incidental stuff like that, and then obviously big, stupid stuff where they didn't do it, they had nothing to do with it, or they did something that anyone else would have done and they for some reason cop it. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
But I agree. And you can see, if you ever follow either of their socials, they're incredible people off the field and probably on. They just play it in a way that is okay. It just, people decide that they don't like it at the moment. Right. Whatever. Let's talk about the Jets now. So they're a decent organisation in terms of... they're a standalone one like the Bears, and they've had a lot of success, particularly since 2019. So how's that been now shifting into that? You've gone through, really what I'm trying to say is like South Dogs, you've been in these other ones that go from junior all the way to the NRL. It's a clear path, whereas Jets are kind of their own standalone thing.
Yeah.
Do you train, for example, with Sharks and things like that?
No. So just to touch on all of that, so obviously after South went to the Dogs for a year, when that NRL pre-season ended up walking away with pretty bad injury to the knee. So what happened after the Dogs is I signed on with the Dragons for a preseason, although I knew myself I couldn't get through that, which ended up being having the year off. Treated my injuries, and not only was it an injury thing, it was kind of like finding that passion for love again.
Right.
Without going into too much detail, I find that after I left the Dogs, I kind of lost that love for rugby league. So I had that year off, treated everything I needed to do, get my body and my mind right. And then I was just thinking, look, how can I get back into footy? And I was like, you know what, if something comes in front of me, I'll grab it and I'll do it, because I'm at that point now. I just want to start training again and feel that happiness again. Anyway, so George Nadira, he rang during just before the preseason and was like, look, mate,
you're a weapon. Come and play for
me. He just like, look, there's an opportunity here to come train with us. And that's all I need. At that point, I wasn't thinking about playing. I just thought about, I want to be in a preseason system and just train again.
Yep.
And George gave me that chance. I went to training and it is different, full-time to part-time. But I think with George, I can't credit him enough as well, because he's kind of given me that life again of football, because he's given me a chance of training, and he's always been transparent with me with whatever, and from day dot. And I've been lucky enough to be playing from this year. I back myself. I know I've got experience and all that, and I put in a good pre-season. Where it gets tricky is with the full-time and part-time.
Yeah.
I get out of the Dogs. Where I'm full-time, I get priority spot, and which is rightly so, and that is how it works. So that's probably the toughest part about being in part-time, is making way for the full-timers. But, if you train hard enough and you stay in there, I think, everyone's got a chance, regardless what position you're in, if you're top 30, top 36, part-time, whatever. Just to touch on the club itself, they're a very proud club. Like, it's still very new to me. Although, like, when my first game for Newtown, I was handed this book with the history of Newtown by the coach. And every debutant from Newtown gets that book. And it's basically, the whole point of that is looking at all the history that that Newtown's done.
Mm.
And what are you going to do to, you know, provide more in that book?
Yeah,
so there's blank pages in the book for you to write.
That's incredible.
And then, you know, I've had plenty of games at Henson already, and you know the crowd there, and you know you got your diehard Newtown members and fans, and it's just I think it's unreal. I think it's important that everyone comes out, and you know we do a job in that jersey every week, you know, for them fans and for that club, because like I said, they're so proud, and
it
makes a difference too. You know, you're not only playing for yourself or playing for the person next to you, but you're playing for the club, and I haven't felt that way in a while,
yeah.
And now I'm feeling it, and I think that kind of reflects on my footy now, and that's why, you know, we had a back-to-back wins now, going into Newcastle this week, so it's important we get another win this week, but I think we're tracking very nicely.
Middle of the table moving up a bit, looks good.
Yeah.
I wanted to quickly, you just made me think about maybe a difference between being like in a dog system or a South system is that you feel like, or accidentally on purpose, it's always we're trying to get to South. Whereas maybe when you're playing for the Bears or with the Jets, although everyone, you know, knows that there is another level to get to, there is a different like, oh no, we're here for this team right now. This is a team, it's a foundation club. It has a huge history. Like I need to do something right now for this club.
Yep.
If that means something for the Sharks, that's great. But at the moment, whereas when you're playing for the Dogs, maybe like, well, I'm playing for this Dogs, but it's not the Dogs. You know, I got to get to. Yeah, I wonder. That's an interesting. I never thought of that before.
And it's hard if you're not a local junior too. I know it's hard. Like everyone moves clubs, but I didn't have that passion for the Bulldogs too. Like I was there and I wanted to do a job. I never thought, like, I don't want to do this. But you know what I mean? Like I'll see us, and you go, that's the pinnacle.
Yeah.
But you know, every club's different. They train different. Coach is different. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Let's talk about Sharks, because they're doing so well at the moment, obviously, and you're that Jets team's a part of that. Do you feel like you watch the Sharks different now that you're part of that system?
Well, it's funny you say that, because, you know, I come from a South family, but I've always been a massive Sharks fan.
Really?
Yeah, so I've always had to be that different one in the family. I've always been a Sharkies fan. Unfortunately, they weren't too good when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So looking at it now, it's weird. Like, I'm in a club affiliated with them, and it's just kind of surreal for me. And watch them now, they had a really good win against Melbourne, and everyone was like, oh, they're just pretenders, they had a good draw, this and that. But I really think they're the real
That was you shit. And me, let's have a last week, we had a soft draw, let's
see how they go. Yeah, exactly, and that was a good test for them. And they've got a couple of big games coming up, and I really think they've got the members in the squad to do that. And the way they're playing their footy too, like that Daniel Atkinson last week, I've had a couple of games with him at the Jets, and he was unreal. He was instrumental for them against Melbourne, and now you've got Nicho Hynes coming back, and he's obviously playing for the Sharks, but he's playing for an Origin jersey too, which I think he deserves. So they're only going to get better, and you know, you got Cam McInnes there, who's an absolute weapon. Like, he just goes all day. I don't know, I'm not within the squad, but it kind of looks like they're really buying into this season, and they, you know, they've got their members that, you know, of the squad, like I said, that can do it. And their big test was Melbourne. They got a couple of games, I think the Roosters leading to Penrith or Broncos, and you know, I believe they can knock them off as well.
Yeah, but do you feel a bit, whenever you see them win, do you ever get a ping of like, that could be me in 2 weeks, I might be playing the Roosters,
I mean, when I was at South, I thought that, when I was at Dolls, I thought that, I was close, but now I'm just like, it's a weird feeling, because it's different to me now. I'm like, I just want to play weekend. I want to fight. Yeah. My priority is getting my happiness back and for the game of rugby league.
Yeah.
Although I always have dreams of imagine playing the Sharks jersey, because I've always been a Sharky fan. And, you know, you can always believe, because I touch on, like, I went to the game last week. My mate Matty French, as you know, debuted for South Sydney Rabbitohs, and he was a part-timer, and he just kept chucking away and you know, he got a debut, which, you know, and even it wouldn't be mad if I say it, but like it's still a bit surreal for us. We don't know how it happened, but it can happen. And that's the main thing. And he's always wanted to wear that South Sydney. He's never had an NRL training day in his life, and he still achieved his dream. So going back to what you said about, if do I ever see myself, then after last week,
I mean, honestly, I think I said to you after the first time I saw you play that the I could have come over and just said, oh, you know, you played well, the game was blah, 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 but you were literally so good that I just had to come over and pump your tires up, because I was just so excited as well that you weren't, that I didn't have to, like, just placate you to your face, you weren't just making up the numbers. And so then when I saw that too, I was like, bloody hell, I'm going to know someone who's going to win a grand final with Sharks, because you're so good, you're never going to make it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Let's, I mean, if anyone's going to make it, I mean, your mate made it, which is great, and eventually, I really feel like you will make it, and then and you won't look, you'll look normal out there. It's going to be so exciting. Let's stay, though, on Sharks. Yep. I'm going to read a tweet from at Tix Vitz Jack Thick. Okay. It's a ridiculous name from V. Okay. She said, the binning, Harry's face, Atkins winking, the try, chaos. That was a weird
That was 3 minutes. Very, very weird.
Because the Sharks were losing, I think, or it was tied.
It was very close.
It was close, yeah.
You know, people say it made or break the game, but look, yeah, it was obviously vital for Melbourne. I believe it shouldn't have been a penalty. They're trying to crack down on it.
Shouldn't have been a penalty, or shouldn't have been a sin bin?
I mean, oh, yeah, regardless, should not have been a sin bin, no way. Either of them, I believe, no way. I mean, I do believe you've got to protect your kickers and that, but there was no malice involved in that. You do need kick pressure in the game.
Yeah.
So if they're trying to take, like, crack down on that, then there goes your kick pressure, and kick pressure is really important in this game. Look, the sin bin, yes, it's Harry Grant. He's one of the best, if not the best, hooker in the game. Down to 12 men too. But I still believe that the effort Cronulla showed, regardless, they win the game. But yes, it was a massive point in the game.
Yeah. And Nico Hines not being in. I mean, everyone talked about Nico Hines not being in and how crazy it is for the Sharks. I think it's just because everyone thought the Sharks weren't going to win. Because Melbourne didn't have Jerome Hughes, which I think is bigger than Pappenhausen. Jerome Hughes is probably their best player. And so him not being in, I was like, I'm glad my little mate picked the Sharks. And I was happy to leave it there until I saw Nico, and then I got nervous. But for them to win without Nico at all, I thought it was great, because he's been so... People often say he's overrated, underrated, whatever, all the time. And the beginning of the season, he was a bit dodgy, but he has just been, really for the Sharks, since they bought him, if you average out his influence, it's been huge. And for him to just leave moments before that Melbourne game and then still win, incredible.
I seen that when Nico Hines was ruled out too. I was at the South game, and I sent on my phone, I was like, oh, no. Oh, no, I was thinking the worst. But, unbelievable.
Because they're 5'8", right? He got done for drink driving. He was also killing it. I can't remember his name now, but he was also killing it before. So when they lost him, I was like, oh, Sharks are going to get derailed. But they just seem to, I mean, it must be coaching or the Jets.
Well, yeah, I think with that too, I think Akko's form from the Jets, and he's propelled himself into that grade and that really important role. And then I don't even know what he was thinking when Nico Hines got ruled out too against Melbourne side. Next man up mentality, I guess, for him, and he's really, owned that position. So it was really unfortunate what happened with Braden, but, I don't know too much about that, but I find that, everything will be resolved there and everything will be sorted. But on the footy side of things, like I said, Akko was next man up mentality.
And he kicks a drop goal, right?
Yeah.
That's outrageous. In Melbourne.
In Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Winning at Amy Park is just another thing, right?
Well, I've stolen heaps of your time. Is there anything else you want to add before we get out of here? You're great at this. Great voice. Can't wait to hear it back.
I want to kind of know your thoughts. If you had to choose a team to win the comp right now, who's it going to be?
Oh, the West Tigers.
Besides the West Tigers.
the BG Marshall's just about to turn those kids in. So great.
I think they'll get more wins. I'm just touching on that.
Yeah.
I believe they'll get more wins and they won't.
I appreciate that. I don't want to do too much tipping because my mate's going to do most of that. But I do want you to... Because I was trying to think about that the other day. Where if you look just at who the Tigers have, we'll be struggling to beat the Dolphins in that's Magic Ground.
Magic Ground, yeah.
It's going to be tough to beat the Cows because they'll probably bounce back. We couldn't beat the Dragons the other day, and Ben Hunt is obviously an absolute weapon.
Unreal,
if we can't beat the Titans, we should be last. Because
Titans are still morals to get the one spoon. I think South get a few wins at the back end of the season. I think Titans are morals to get the one spoon.
They just score so many points, which worries me.
Yeah.
They don't. They will score heaps of points, but they score heaps of points, which worries me. Mm. This could go either way. It depends on where they are at the time. They've already beaten us. That'll be 72-0.
I'll get all that one. Yeah.
This will be 72-0. I mean, that I don't know whether. Hopefully, the Sharks have given up by then because they're already in the top four.
Yeah.
And also, we should win this one. So we play, I think, South twice, and so surely
they get more wins than they did last year. I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe that. I think Titans still crash again. They're morals for that. But yeah, I hate to say it, but I do think Roosters are the winners this year.
Oh, wow.
I think they win it this year.
They look great.
Nathan Cleary, obviously being out, he'll be back by the end of the year. But I think I just don't see Penrith going, was that four in a row? Geez, that would be unbelievable. But Roosters are the team to beat this year. Broncos are always going to be around there, but with their injury woes, it's going to be
tough. So what happens with the Sharks then?
I'm leaving the Sharkies out. With the Sharkies, they go deep into the finals, although I think Roosters are just too good. I think they can knock off a team like Brisbane.
Yeah.
But if Roosters keep their form, I think Connor Watts is doing an unbelievable job at hooker. It's not his natural position, but with Brandon Smith being out, I think Connor Watts has been the man. And you got Yamanu's, and it's their last kind of season together. I guess if you want to say the window's going to close up this year with everyone leaving. But yeah, I think this is the year to do it, and they will do it.
I also can't believe the JWH. He's now the third, fourth most capped Rooster at 301 or 302. The most capped is Orbison at 306, so he'll beat him. And he's a prop.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
I think,
oh my goodness.
He's a beast, and he's one of those incredible dudes who does a great job on the field and is the nicest bloke on
the field. I hear that too. He was a really nice dude because, you know, outside looking in, watching the game, you think, oh, look at
this guy.
But he plays the game like how he plays it, and then you may not like it, you may do, and that's, he doesn't care about that.
Yeah. But he does a job. And the thing about Connor Watson is, I mean, I often say that Roosters don't have an identity or whatever they buy people in, but Connor Watson for me is the Roosters. He's handsome, but he's extremely tough. He's got a real, he looks like he'd look great, you know, in a shirt drinking coffee at Bondi Junction. But he'd also, you trust the bloke, he's going to do a job for you on the field, and he's going to get dirty. Yeah,
100%.
He's great. 100%. I'm a big fan of that bloke as well. And obviously, there isn't. The wingers doing a great job from the Knights as well. You're right. Most of that, they weren't gelling. There was something weird happening at the beginning of the year, but now they look like they could beat anyone. Except for maybe, I mean, Penrith also still look like they could beat anyone. But you're right. That injury ish is a real ish. I also just don't see Jerome. I mean, we've just bought Luai, so I hope he's great forever. But he's so great when the other guy's great.
That's what I mean. He needs a directing half because that's when he.
Which
comes
is why I don't want him for Origin.
That's right. And I think for the Tigers going into next year, I think with your halfback, I've just completely lost.
Aiden Caesar.
The young fella.
Oh yeah, buddy. He played on Saturday.
Yeah, I can't believe I don't know his name, but we know who we're talking about. If he owns that
Sullivan,
role,
Bud Sullivan.
Oh, Bud. Oh no, they're the other guy, the other one. Oh. Bud. He's killing it at half, 5/8.
For who? For us right now. Yeah. The kid. He's got a kid's name as well. It's
the most kiddish. Can't believe I lost his name.
Okay,
but, you know, if he steps up into that more dominant half role, Jerome Luai can obviously play his game.
Yeah,
and there's good signs for the Tigers going in. Mm. I think, Appy's been unreal, but he just needs that more go forward. And if Jerome can play off the back of that, off the quick ruck with Appy jumping out, they've got that Penrith connection, they can,
There's one thing, I know I said I'd get rid of you 10 minutes ago, but there's one thing I need to know about hookers, because you do this too. Appy's always... Do you ever pass the way that you've just pointed? Because the whole time I watched you, you're always, you look at left, you got your hand on the left, you cut in on this guy, and you always go right.
I'm a deception, or I believe anyway. Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny, kind of, there's different ways you can, you know, use deception within the ruck and get the markers going one way or the other. And when fatigue comes into the game, it works more. But I always seem to put my hands up too to try and get a quick ruck and try to, you know, get the ref on my side.
That would make sense though, because like you look for whoever's there, you see them, you come back and the tackle's still going. I understand it. It upsets me when players come up and they're already doing it. But when when there's been a beat or a pause, then it is a 50-50. So you can start going, hey, what about now? But
it's a fast game now. So, you know, hookers come alive when it's a fast game. I think Damien Cook, he's 2018 year, the game started changing. You got to be quicker. And that's why he had one of his best years of his life. I still believe it's getting quicker with the new rules and all that coming in. So hookers are very important. If you've got fullbacks and halves that can always back up within the ruck too, I think, you know, you're halfway there into a good side.
That's why I was so happy to get Ollum, because in Melbourne he was told obviously over and over again, you know, push through the middle, push through, something happens. And we didn't have that kind of mentality or whatever before, and there were a bunch of tries that Appy first scored where he would poke his head through or just get enough happening, and then there would never ever be someone there. And then the first two games, Justin's and he's like, oh my god, you know, and all the Tigers fans are, oh my god, these are working, this is what a normal team
100%,
looks like.
100%.
And so we just need everyone. Gavin,
that's it.
Took me.
Galvin
Lachlan,
that's it, there we go, we got it now.
Alright, we're on a high, let's end there.
Really good. Okay, Bello, let's have a look. Big Bello, you're here. Let's quickly look at our tips. T-I-P.
learning how to spell that word. We're doing a great job. So last week, how'd you go? We tipped the Dolphins, they win?
Yes.
We tipped Panthers over Doggies. Who'd won?
Panthers.
Another green tick. We tipped Broncos over Eels. How'd we go?
Broncos won.
Another green tick. We obviously tipped the Tigers over the Knights. It was very close, but we didn't get that one. And then we tipped the Dragons over the Rabbits. How'd we go?
Right. So we got one, two.
Hold on, let's finish them first and then we count them up. We tipped the Sharks over the Storm, your big legend, even though everyone thought Storm. And how'd we go?
Good.
We tipped Roosters over Warriors. How'd we go?
Good.
Incredible run. And then we tipped the Cows over the Titans, and then they only just beat them. The Titans only just beat them, so it was an incredible round of tipping. How many did you get right?
One, two, three, four, five right.
No, six, dude.
Six right, and one, two, wrong.
Excellent job.
So six right and two wrong.
And so now let's tip the next one. Tell me the two teams.
Bulldogs and Raiders.
Who do you like?
Raiders.
You like the Raiders, okay.
The Bulldogs are on 9, the Raiders are on 7.
Yeah, and 59% versus 41. So more people are tipping the Raiders. Next one.
Broncos and Seagulls.
Who do you like?
Broncos.
Yep, fair enough. Next.
10 people tipped the Seagulls, 90 people tipped the Broncos.
Yeah, and then?
Knights and Titans.
Who do we like?
Knights.
Yeah, they're looking really good at the moment. Even though they've lost Kalen Ponga, they still look really good. They're number one.
No, I want this. So 69 people took the Knights, 31 people took the Titans.
Nice.
40 people took the Roosters and 60 people tipped the Sharks.
Yep.
And 84 people...
Who did you tip, Sharks or Roosters?
Sharks.
It's going to be a tough one. Look, I know this is weird. This is the second time the odds are different to how people are tipping. Anyway, next game.
Cowboys and Rabbitohs.
Who have we tipped?
Cowboys. 84 people took the Cowboys. 16 people took the Rabbitohs.
Yep. And then next game?
Panthers and Warriors.
And we like?
Panthers.
Yeah, I think Panthers.
60 people took the Warriors, 94 people took the Panthers.
Even with Nathan Cleary out, everyone's still on the Panthers. And then, next game.
Eels and Storm.
Who do we like?
4 people tipped the Eels and 96 people tipped Storm. I tipped Storm.
Yeah, we've tipped Storm. And then last game.
Dolphins and Tigers.
Who do we like?
2 people tipped Tigers. 6 people tipped the Tigers, 94 people tipped the Dolphins.
And who do we tip?
Tigers.
That's my boy. We're one of the 6%. Hold on, but now we're going to do the next bit. So that's our tipping, and I think you're going to do just as well as you did last week. Except for I think we'll get more right because the Tigers will win. Let's go into the ladder.
I'm no expert. I just love the game. But more than that, I love the community. If you're a fan of rugby league or the NRL, you'll love Big T's Tees. Unique, affordable, and made for fans. Find a link to the online store in the show notes below. You'd look good in one of Big T's tees.
New South Wales Cup, round 11. It's actually a crazy round. I'm going to tell you about it in a sec. But first of all, who are the two teams who are playing?
Warriors and Panthers.
Who do you like?
Panthers.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then next round?
Raiders and Dragons. I think Raiders.
Great. And then the next one?
Bears and Rabbits. Bears.
Yeah.
Eels and Magpies, Eels. Knights and Jets, Jets. Bulldogs and Seagulls, Bulldogs. And the Roosters are in the day.
Now listen, this is all going to be played in one oval. It's all going to be played at North City Oval. So we can go and watch all those games back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
So not just one game, all the games.
Yeah.
And now there's only one other game that's also happening this on Thursday. It is the... State of Origin. And so, under 19s, it's this one, I think. So on Thursday, Queensland plays New South Wales at Suncorp up in Queensland.
Why are there all these?
Well, there's three of them. There's three games that they play. Queensland versus New South Wales. First of all, it's been played in Queensland. Who do you like, New South Wales or Queensland?
New South Wales.
Of course. And how many points do you think we'll beat them by?
What Eight.
Eight. So the score might be?
28-20.
28-20. Excellent suggestion. Great maths as well, by the way, off the top of your head. 28-20. Hopefully you're right.
Then look, what is this?
It means...
New South Wales won.
Yeah, last time they played.
And they won 18-14.
Yep. Good knowledge.
concerts in the Rugby League Garden of Eden.
Okay, so let's look through the three ladders. Tell us about the NRL ladder first.
It goes Sharks, Panthers, Storm, Dolphins, Roosters, Broncos, Raiders, Seagulls, Bulldogs, Knights, Dragons, Cowboys, Eels, Warriors, Tigers, Titans, Rabbits.
I can't believe the Warriors are that far down. Lots of people thought the Warriors were going to win the whole comp. And now they're down the bottom with us. They've only won one more game than we have. And we're going to win. We'll probably beat the Dolphins on the weekend, whereas they'll probably lose. So we might overtake the Warriors over the weekend. And then we'll be in the same amount of wins as the Eels and the Warriors. That's exciting for us. Okay, let's look at the New South Wales knock-on effect, New South Wales Cup.
Oh, the Jets won.
The Jets won, you're right.
Because they're on five.
They're moving up to fifth. Whoever went down. I think they beat the Knights. No, they're playing the Knights soon. Maybe the Sea Eagles? Anyway, what? Tell us about the table.
It goes Panthers, Bulldogs, Raiders, Bears, Jets, Warriors, Dragons, Rabbits, Knights, Eels.
Weird Sea Eagles.
Weird Sea Eagles. And then it goes to... And then goes Roosters, Magpies.
Yeah, and...
Where are the Eels? 10th.
Yeah.
Jumped up.
And also, the Jets and Bears are getting up the top. They're doing really well. Our two teams are doing really well in New South Wales Cup. That's exciting. And then last one, we'll do the Queensland Cup.
Ooh, Dad, look.
Yeah.
So it goes Bears, whatever this team is.
The Seagulls.
The Seagulls.
Devils.
Devils.
Pride.
Pride.
Falcons.
Falcons.
Cutters.
Cutters.
Dolphins.
Dolphins.
Do you want me to read this one to you? Hunters. Magpies, Capras, Brisbane Tigers, different Seagulls, Black Hawks, Clydesdales, Jets.
Brisbane Tigers dropped down.
They must have lost it.
To 11.
To one of these two. Maybe to the Magpies or Capras or Hunters. I don't know. I like the Hunters. So I'm glad they're doing well.
These ones jumped up. They used to be on 10.
Who did?
These two.
Magpies.
Yeah. And these used to be on 8, but they dropped down to 11th.
Now, is there anything else you want to say real quick before we go?
And these Bears are coming first.
Burley Bears are coming first, yep.
I'd have to say Bears.
They keep talking about moving the North Sydney Bears, by the way. They want to move the North Sydney Bears and put them in Perth on the other side of the country, a long way away. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, this Bears, the North Sydney Bears... Do you know who that team is?
The Bears here.
Yeah, those Bears. Instead of playing in New South Wales, they want to put them in the NRL with all the top teams, but they changed. They won't be North Sydney anymore. They'll be Perth.
Okay.
What do you think?
I don't know. But what do you mean?
They won't play in North Sydney anymore. There'll be a team that gets to play in the top league, but they'll just play in a different city.
Okay.
Good for them.
Yeah. You mean they're going to come back to this ladder but play in a different city?
Yeah, they'll come back to this top ladder. So they'll play against the Storm and the Dolphins and all the big teams, the West Tigers. But they'll just...
Bears and Tigers?
Yeah, it'll be Bears versus Tigers. It'll be Perth Bears versus West Tigers.
I mean Perth Bears?
Perth Bears.
Perth Bears?
Yeah.
Are we changing them to Perth Bears?
They look like they're going to change them. Do you like changing teams or do you want them to stay the same?
I like changing teams.
Okay, well, there you go. This podcast is pro-changing.
The Bulldogs dropped out at night.
They must have lost. Here's what I do like about it. Maybe they'll keep a team in North Sydney and they'll have a team in the top grade. That would be good. Then we can still watch them.
Can we see the Queensland Cup, please?
I showed you already. It's where the Burley Bears are coming first.
Oh. Is that the early ladders?
There's three ladders. You already go through enough ladders, you crazy kid. Most people only look at one ladder. Okay, have a great rest of your ladder tipping day. Love you.
Bye.
Oh, what? Don't want to say love me back? Interesting. Very.
Well, if you're big, you got to play big.
Well, that's it for another week. Thanks for listening all the way through. If you have to this bit, you must have. Get around good people on the socials, and we'll talk to you next time, sports best friends.
Bye.
We wouldn't have got that win without your support. We heard you cheering the whole 60 minutes, and we bloody love yous.
Sports Best Friends would like to thank you for listening right to the end. You are our kind of people.
Find other great sports podcasts in our family by subscribing. And remember, social media isn't a bad place. You just need to follow the right people.